Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Let's Talk To Podcast, hosted by author Sharnell Williams. Are you ready to spend some time with Sharnell and her special guest? Join our live conversation every Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, here's your host, Sharnell Williams.
Welcome to Let's Talk To Podcast. Today is Thursday, January the 20th, 2022. Y'all, we're already into the new year. Ain't that crazy? 20 years in. Did you accomplish anything? Did you set a goal for January the 1st? You know, what's going on? My name is Sharnell Williams, born and raised in North New Jersey. Born and raised in North New Jersey. I have my own publishing company. I'm an author. I'm going on 5 years of doing my women's empowerment luncheon. This year is going to be in North New Jersey, May the 7th. We still got them tickets out. So if you want to come, if you want to be a guest, men welcome too. Yeah, I don't want to, like, everybody welcome. Bring your kids, because everybody needs to be inspired. Excuse me, everybody needs to be inspired. So kids are welcome. Your man is welcome. Go tell your father, your brother, your nephew, your grandmother, your grandfather. You know, get these tickets. It's at Yana, Y-A-N-A, 2022.eventbrite.com. So get these tickets ready and let's party. You know, it's a celebration. You know, we're going to celebrate. We got some strong, powerful women going to do their testimony, you know, and we ain't hear testimony in a long time, and we need that testimony this year. We done went through a lot. With this pandemic. So, again, it's May the 7th. If you're on Facebook or Instagram, you can go on my pages, and you will see the information on there. But I will hope to see you there. There's just, like, so many wonderful things is going on. I just want to thank God, because God is good. God is really good, and I just want to thank him for allowing me to do this platform so other entrepreneurs can come on and, you know, share their brand, share what they're doing, what they've got going on. I don't care if you're an author, if you, you know, cook, if you, whatever you do, you know, make shoestrings, make masks, you know, this is the show to be on to promote you. You're promoting you and you're promoting your brand. So this is the show. While I'm waiting for my guest to come on, because I'm waiting for her to come on, I just want to say a couple of things. I just want to shout out to Sharshay Publishing for one thing, because without my clients signing me and trusting me with their manuscript, it wouldn't be no Sharshay Publishing. I started my publishing company back in 2016. Yes, a little girl from North New Jersey, from the projects. So I'm just saying this to say, like, you can do anything you put your mind to. Anything you put your mind to. Go for it. Try it out. You know, you might have some trials and tribulations. Yes, a lot of times I wanted to give up. But did I give up? No. I didn't give up. So you got to just, you know, do you and be strong and, you know, be 100% into your brand. Because if you're trying to do something just to get a quick buck and you're not feeling that brand or feeling what you're doing, it ain't going to succeed. It's not going to succeed. So you have to do what you have to do to get on. Do something you love. Everybody has something they love to do. So do that. You understand what I'm saying? And you can do it. I'm telling you, you can do it. So I just want to thank you again for everybody who supported Sharshay Publishing, for everybody who supported this Blog Talk Radio show, for everyone who supported my Women's Empowerment Luncheon, which will be held on May the 7th in Newark, New Jersey. Get them tickets, and I'll see you there. So we just got so much planned for tonight's show. Y'all joining me and Nicole, and we're gonna talk about a lot of things. So I just hope everything go well. I'm just waiting for Nicole, and I'm trying to just rub my mouth till she come on. So I'm just waiting for her to come on. But she's a resident of Columbus, Ohio. I didn't know that. I didn't know she is a resident of Columbus, Ohio, where she is an author, poet, a vocational rehabilitation counselor for opportunities for, Ohioans with disability. So Nicole, she's doing some good stuff, and she's going to come on, and she's going, and plus she's an author. You know, I had to throw that. Yes. So she's doing some good, great stuff. So we're going to bring her on in a minute. But for now, I'm going to go take a little short commercial, and I'll be right back.
Recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day, but where are my blue skies? Where is the love? The joy that you promised me, tell me it's alright.
I'll be honest with you,
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower.
When I think how much better I'm gonna be when this is over,
y'all.
Came down
from heaven. Hardship, difficulty, tears, storms, this is what I do.
Oh,
that feels good.
I know God is working, so I smile.
All things are working.
Even though I've been here for a while,
still
I smile. Smile.
Hallelujah.
You know how to look up when you get down.
I know it's hard right now.
Sure would hate to see you give up now.
Because you're a winner.
You look so much better when you smile.
You look better.
So smile. Oh, oh, oh.
Dallas.
You look so much better when you smile.
You to be happy, but then you gotta have something happen. I want you to have joy, cause can't nobody take that from you. I'll see you. Smile.
Hello, hello, hello. How y'all doing? I'm still waiting for my guests to tune in, but I just want to thank y'all again for all those who tune in. I see you. I see you. Let me just let you know a little bit again, as I'm waiting for her to call in, I just want to know, I just want to say that I feel so thankful for everyone who supported me over the years. I had this radio show, this podcast since, wow, 2000 and, it was before my publishing company. So I had it for a while, and all the guests that have been on my show, I want to thank you, and I'm looking for all the guests that's coming on my show. I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to have you on my platform. And it's just like, it's just been so amazing after all these years. So I just want to thank you. And I want everybody to go out to my website and check out my website, authorcharnellwilliams.com. I have books on there. I have T-shirts on there. Yes, I have books. Yes. Tees, masks, and what else I got on my shirt? Mugs. So go on in, show a sister some support and show the sister some love. But yes, I'm trying to do big things for 2022. Y'all going to hear me. Y'all going to hear me. I'm not going to keep quiet no more. Y'all going to hear me. So so I would just say she should be on shortly. She should be on shortly. I don't know what's keeping her. And I hope she's in the right time zone, because you know a lot of people get the time zone messed up. But that's why I always pick EST after my time zone, Eastern. So I'm in the East. So I hope she ain't get confused about the time zone. But again, let me tell you a little bit for those who just tuned in, because I see a couple of y'all just came on. So my name is Arthur Charnell Williams, born and raised in North New Jersey. I welcome you to Let's Talk 2 podcast. I really appreciate you tuning in and listening in. And I know some of y'all is for the guest that's coming on. So I'm just waiting for her to come in and do what she got to do and say what she got to say. So I'm just waiting for her to come in now. So I'm just going to talk, because y'all know I'm a talker. So I'm just going to talk till she pop up, My event, I just can't say this faithfully about my event, is May 7th, 2022. I have some wonderful dedicated speakers that's going to attend this year. We're going to talk about a lot of things. So you need to tune in. You need to purchase your ticket. But we are going to be talking. We're going to lift the spirit up in that room on May the 7th. Yes, we is. We're going to tell testimonies. We're going to help. I have a young lady, Ms. White, going to talk to you about credit. I have another person going to talk to you about starting a business. It's so many things going on that day. You have to be there. Go to Eventbrite and get your tickets for the 5th Annual YANA Women's Empowerment Luncheon that take place in North New Jersey. Did y'all hear me? North New Jersey at 11 a.m. And I just wanted to let y'all know that I'm still looking for two. I need two more vendors. I'm looking for two more vendors. I would like to have a vendor. I already have the paparazzi for the jewelry. I would like somebody to come on and do soap. And, you know, just who make candles, who make soap. You know, I'm trying to get the small business out there. That's what I do. I try to help the small business and promote the small business and get everybody a chance. That's why I do all these platforms. I do them for you, not for me. I do them for you. So I would like everybody to come on and come out, show your products off. You understand what I'm saying? Come on this platform. Let's talk the podcast. And, you know, promote your items. Promote whatever you got going on. You got an upcoming event. Come on, promote. You understand what I'm saying? It's all about promotion. Ain't nobody going to promote your items like you promote your items. So I just got to I'm just here for y'all. That's all I can say. If anybody knows me, they know I just support everybody. That those who support me will get support back. That's all I got to say. So now I'm waiting for Nicole to check in. So I guess I'm going to put a little song back on, put some music going until she come in. So one second, y'all. Let me just do this real quick. One second. And I apologize for the lateness. I really apologize.
Ho! Brothers and sisters, I want to welcome you back to life, back to the one that can make your next chapter your best chapter. Hallelujah.
How can it be that you love the most unlovable part of me?
Forever and a day.
All I wanna do is make you proud.
Let me share.
Okay. I had to put some music on. I see the guest is in the house. I'm about to bring her on. 1 second. Let me make sure everything is right. And I apologize, y'all. I just want to thank everybody for tuning in. Thank you so much. 1 second. Hello?
Hi, Chanel. How are you?
Hi. How you doing?
Good. I apologize. I'm so sorry.
Okay. Thank you for apologizing. Could you introduce yourself to the audience, tell the people your name, where you're from, and a little bit about what you do?
Hi, everybody. My name is Malika Nicole, and I'm an author, poet, creative enthusiast, and so I do a little bit of different things. Started out maybe 10 years ago writing professionally. I've written 21 different books that includes children's books. There's poetry books, romantic thriller. I've also, I present information to like different schools regarding working with individuals with disabilities. And then I'm also an event planner. And so I've, a few years ago, I partnered with another individual. We created the very first children's book festival in Camden, New Jersey. And so now I'm creating a book festival here in Westerville, Ohio.
Oh, okay. Wow. Let's talk about you as being an author first. And then we're going to get into everything else. But being an author, when did you start writing and when did you publish your first book? And I apologize for asking you two questions at once, but, yeah.
Okay. So I first started writing when I was, like, maybe a teenager. And so I was probably around... I think I was probably around 13 or 14. And so I use writing to express myself just because growing up I was very quiet. I didn't like doing like public speaking, or if someone asked me like how was I doing, writing assists me with identifying like how I was doing, how I was feeling. And so the funny part is, like when I was younger and growing up, and we took like the proficiency test or state test that you're required to pass. The funny thing is, the first thing that I passed was the writing portion, the very first time that I took it, and so I didn't know I liked writing until I think once I graduated college. That sense or urge and wanting to write came back. And so I think officially I knew that I wanted to be a writer and I wanted to write was once I graduated college. So like maybe early 20s. And so I released about 10, 11 years ago, 2010, I released my first novel called Dead Wrong. And so it's a romantic thriller. And so I think after I released that, I loved writing and I wanted to write more and more. And I think it's never, like the urge has never left me. Sometimes I've thought like about giving up or that maybe I'm going to put it on the back burner, but it always comes back.
Oh, okay. Well, how many books you have in all total published?
I've published 21 books.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
So in that publishing time, because you said you did your first book, no? Can you hear the echo? Because it sounds like I hear the echo in the background.
What did you say?
I said I hear an echo. 1 second.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not sure.
Well, it might be my phone. It might be my phone.
Okay.
So you published 21 books. Now, I ask you, yeah, every author this, what was your favorite book you published and why?
This one's heavy. I've never been asked that question.
That threw you off, right?
You know, I would have to say it's my first novel, Dead Wrong. I think the reason why I like that book so much is because, like, writing that book, I kind of had to go to a deep, dark place, like, writing it, like, and bringing up emotions that I've never felt before. And so I think I like that one because it's my very first novel. I kind of put, like, my all into it, and I was able to put, like, different aspects of writing just because, like, since I do poetry as well, like, when you read Dead Wrong, you'll feel some poetry aspects, like, in the book, like, reading some of the interactions, like, she has with the different characters in the book. So I think I could still read that book now, and I'll smile, like, just reading it.
So all 21 of your books, did you self-publish your books yourself? Did you self-publish?
Yeah. And so I created a publishing company. Prior to releasing my first book, I created Hampton Publishing House, LLC. And so, like, the concept was to help me, like, publish my own work, and then also to assist other individuals who wanted assistance with publishing, like, their books. And so with that company, I've worked with, like, a few other authors who are related to me. I've helped two of my nieces when they were 7 and 8. We self-published the book called All In Together Girls. And then my nephew, there's a book called PJ's World, and his name is Patrick, or we call him PJ. And so we wrote that book together when he was around, I think he was around 7 as well. And then recently, I recently published one with my daughter, who's 2 years old, and it's called Good Morning, Amira.
Oh, okay. So it sounds like a family business.
Yeah, you can say that.
Oh, because you haven't worked with anyone else outside of your family, right?
Regarding authors, but if it's
right,
if it's like illustrators or editors, like, I've worked with other individuals that's not family members with that.
Okay.
So,
I was going to ask you how it is, what's the difference, but I guess you got to get somebody on your publishing company because I want to know what's the difference working with family and a non-family. You understand what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. What's the difference in regards to what? Like, publishing or?
Yes, publishing with family because, you know, family can be a little, you understand what I'm saying? If you get what I mean. Family can be a little... It's not like working with an outsider where you can put your foot down and do, you know, you just see family different from the outsider.
Yeah, family definitely keeps it real, and sometimes they keep it too real. And I don't think we haven't had any, like, maybe problems or concerns regarding, like, the publishing or...
Yeah.
Working with family. I've even, like, when I've had certain events, like, my family has assisted with, say, for instance, my niece has looked up stuff online about making, like, a fruit bowl or making different dishes for the event. So my family has always been like helpful and supportive and making sure like I was kind of thinking outside the box.
Yeah, that family support system.
Yeah, because sometimes like you sometimes, not just you or me or other people, they kind of get stuck in their own way of how they want certain things done, you know?
Right.
And so sometimes you got to take a step back because you're too close to it. And so sometimes family lets you help take a step back and be able to look at it at another perspective.
That's true. That's true. And family to give you the real deal. They'll let you know if your manuscript stink or not. They'll let you know.
Yeah. And you know, us as artists and authors, we're emotional about our work and our creation. Mm-hmm. And so, like, sometimes it's hard to hear when somebody's telling you certain things. But, yeah, family will keep it all the way real.
Now, oh, yeah, that's true, so true. Now, let me ask you a question. You don't go over 21 books. Now, have you ever did anthologies? Have you ever collabed with any other authors?
You know what? When I lived in Jersey, actually, I was starting an anthology with a couple other authors in which I had started. And that was my first time doing an anthology, but that work never got finished because something happened to my computer.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I would love to, like, do, like, an anthology or to work with other authors and we all, like, put our work together. I've seen like a lot of different anthologies, like some of my friends have done, and it looks nice and looks like something interesting.
Yeah, I like anthologies. I think I like it, and I'm gonna be honest. I think I like it because the word count. Steady writing on thousands and thousands of pages of word count, doing like 50,000, 75,000. I like to stick to a number. And it's short. You get to read, you know, you get the feeling of other authors' work, and you get the feeling of your work. And like you said, working with other authors, I think that is so amazing. Like, yeah, on the same page and on the same level. So, that's true. So, yeah, you need to try that. It's like a good experiment because I started one, and I think I'm on my fifth or sixth one now, and I love it.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, I love
it.
I threw it through my company. I had, like, so many people who want, you know, to come join me with my anthology. Well, I call it our anthology. Like, and it's just been so amazing, you know. It's so amazing. So, like, if you want to, you try with your company or, you know, try with somebody else who's do their anthology with them. You'll like it. You'll like the turnout.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, so when you've done an anthology before, how many pages is it usually per author or how many words?
Well, I do word count, and sometimes it's like 25, and that's not included. That's not including your bio and your, your acknowledgement page. I want, like, when I work with authors, I want them to do their work separate from, because some people are added on, like, if I say 2,500 word count, that's including their bio, that's including their acknowledgement page, their dedication page. No, I want your story to be your story. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I do 2,500, and now I'm working on making it, like, between 2,500 and 5,000 pages. You know, plus I do a lot of first-time writers, so, you know, that'll be a good experience for them.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds interesting.
It's good. Yeah, it's good, because then you get to know your writers and stuff. You get to know, and, you know, you help them out, and you talk to them about the writing.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
Now, have you ever, like, how long did it ever take you to write one of your books?
I think it all I think it all depends. And so when I first wrote Dead Wrong, I wrote Dead Wrong in like maybe a couple months because like at that time, I think I was working like maybe two or three jobs. I was also going to school to obtain my master's. I would come home like every day, like maybe after work, and spend like maybe an hour or two like writing like that book for Dead Wrong. Now, even though maybe 2 or 3 months to develop for me to release it out of my hands and let it go and get it into the hands of someone else, that took a long time just because, as all authors, I was scared to let it go. I was scared for anybody to read it. I was scared to, I didn't want anybody to steal my work. And so I wasn't too familiar with copywriting back then. So it took a while.
So that was the reason why you were scared. Oh, excuse me, Kat.
Once I have a sorority sister that I had talked to about my writing, and she's kind of always supported me. And she kind of helped me, like, release it and let it go and, like, getting it seen. And so I kind of thank her because, like, who knows where I would have been right now if I never went into her.
Right. Everybody needs that push. But I want to go back to when you said you was fear. Was you fear, and you explained it a little bit, was you fear to put your work out, or was you fear that somebody was going to steal your work? Was that the fear in you?
I think a little bit of both, just because I think we all sometimes fear like people don't understand you or understand like what you're talking to. So it's kind of like a fear regarding letting my work go, letting it be seen, hoping people understand me. And so once you get past that fear, though, it's nothing but up, you know. And so I think what I saw is once I let it go, and so I went to my past job, I sold the book to, like, a lot of my friends. I had a book signing. A lot of people were supportive. They enjoyed the book. They gave me great feedback. So I'm just like, okay, maybe I do have something.
Right. Yeah, because fear stops a lot of people from doing what they want to do. That's why I don't even put fear in my vocabulary. That's not even in my can't and fear. It's not in my vocabulary. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever got a negative review about any of your books? And if so, how did you handle it?
Did I get what?
A negative review.
So there was a while ago, there used to be this site, I forget what the site is now, but it was like where there were a lot of reviewers. And so when you wanted to get your book reviewed for free, you could go to this website, you could look for reviewers, and then you could ask people, like, if you wrote poetry or if you wrote romance thriller, you could seek out a reviewer who read that type of work and then obtain a review.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for my poetry, there was one reviewer that he gave me a three out of five, and I'm just like, I was like, where did I get this from? The reviewer had read my my first novel. I think he read my second novel, and then also my third novel, which were poetry books.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, like, my poetry had changed from me when I first started, because I wanted to start trying to do different things, like, with my poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he really liked my first and second works, just because he gave me, like, maybe fours or fives with the first and second work. But the third work, I didn't get that 4 or 5. He gave me a 3. And so that kind of hit hard, just because, like, when you're used to getting, like, maybe 4 or 5, it's like, hey, he's not liking this. But I could understand, just because I tried to kind of push myself and try to do something different. And maybe I should have just stayed with what I had, you know?
But I think everybody should try something new, because sometimes your readers get bored or the same old thing, or they feel as though they read in the same old thing. You know what I'm saying? So I think everybody should try, like, something new. And that's you know, you ain't going to always, because I remember when I first got my first review, I was, like, almost in tears. I didn't know, like, people can be so harsh. And then when I start meeting other authors and they start lifting me up and stuff, and I was like, fuck. But one review I had, like, I revised my whole book off of that one review. She was like, fire your editor. Whoever your editor is, fire them. You need to fire them. So then I was like, oh, my God. Because I was telling my editor, I love my editor today. This is another editor. I love her today, this editor I got now. But the other editor, she told me, don't put no details in my book. So I'm listening to her because, hey, she's an editor. She knows that. I ain't had no details. She was like, a lot of people ain't going to want to see a lot of details. My friend called me. She bought my book. We're like, where are the details? What's going on with this? And then other people start leaving me comments and stuff. Like, where are the details? You need to fire your editor. Fire your editor. I was like, oh, my God. So I had to revise my book and told the editor of the first manuscript, put all the details back in, because she told me it was too much. She was like, it's too much. You don't need all that detail. But then everybody started saying bad things, and I just revised it, and I put all the details back in. And then people started liking it more. So I was like, oh, my God. But, you know, you listening to the editor, you just your first time. You don't know nothing. And it's your first time, so you're going to go about with your editor. That's why I say it's so important to communicate with your editor.
And so you're important. Right. And it's also actually good that you get an editor that understands your work, or, like, say, for instance, your target population and who you're writing for. I had somebody before, I had them review that wrong. And so they're not from the culture, and so they don't understand, like, certain words or certain things.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like, I had to get an editor that was from the culture, because they understood. They understood where I was coming from and what I was trying to say. And so, yeah, the editor is just as important as you are as a writer as well.
Right. And you know what? That is so true, because I had an editor from California, and she didn't – I'm from North New Jersey. She didn't understand my language, like I was talking. You know how you from New York, you know how we talk. So she was like, no, the college students ain't going to understand that. I was like, the college students? I ain't got some old college student. But she was like, no, you got to talk more professionally. I was like, well, this is me. You understand what I'm saying? This is me. So she didn't get it. Like you just said, they don't get the way you write, because it's from a different culture. So I had to change my editor for that, too. So she was telling me to change my words to big words. She was telling me to change my wording to words I didn't even understand. I didn't even know.
Right. And it's like, if you don't understand it.
Yeah.
How are you going to explain it to your followers?
Right. And that's why I was like, with my company now, so I say publishing, I said, I'm going to, you know, let the writers be themselves. Because a lot of editors take that away. Like, a lot of editors edit your work for their vision, not for the author vision. You understand what I'm saying? So I just wanted, like, all my clients, I want them to feel their work. Because a lady told me she signed to my company. She was like, oh, my God, Shana, I love you. Because you changed the punctuation. You changed everything around. But you didn't. I know my manuscript. I know I wrote it. When she was with another company, she said that they changed it so much, it ain't even feel like her writing. So, and you don't never want to offer to feel like that.
That's very important to know what type of editor you're getting, like whether it's a content editor, where it's a grammar like, do they edit grammar or what type of editor they are, just so you still keep your same voice, like, in your book.
Right. Yeah. And I agree with that. And editing, I was just about to ask you this question, how important is finding an editor, getting an editor?
That's just as important as you as the author, just because if someone edits your work to the point where you still don't have your voice, then it's not a good editor for you. And so you want to select the editor that you're able to keep your same voice. They understand exactly what you're saying. They know what type of audience, like, you're going for, and they just understand your work. You need to shop around, like, for, like, a good editor. And it's okay to, like, say, for instance, you have 1, 2, 5 different books. It's okay to look for different editors depending on your different work, because one editor may do really well, like, if you're writing for the culture. But if you're writing for college students, you know, you may need another editor to help you market to college students. So it just all depends on who you're trying to market to, and what type of style of editing your editor does.
Yeah, that's true. That is so true. Now, let me ask you this. Do you believe in ghostwriting? Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because some people, what I'm about to say, they may be mad at me.
Keep it real.
I get
keep
it
real. This Let's Talk 2 podcast. We keep it real on here.
Look, I get it. To each his own, I get it. Like, if you want to do ghostwriting, just because Steve Harvey has done ghostwriting, there's a lot of other authors have done ghostwriting. But me, per se, when I look at someone that's done ghostwriting, I really don't look at them as a real author. The only reason
that
is because there's a process of going into writing where you're thinking about certain subjects, or you're up all night, or maybe you wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, oh, I need to put this in my book, I need to do that. You can still do that, like, with ghostwriting, but the process, the whole process of writing the book is what makes you an author, and it's an amazing experience. Once you say it, that I've done this myself, I've written this myself, I've gotten this out into the world. These are my words, exactly how I want it set.
And that is so true.
Yeah, like, to each his own.
You
know,
a lot of them they get ghostwriters. A lot of them.
Yeah.
But that's to each his own, because I understand they're busy. Like, a lot of people, like, the lady was looking for a ghostwriter, like, a couple of years ago. She said she's busy. She got 5 kids. She got this. She got 2 jobs. She want her book out, but she can't write her book. Because she, you know, it's just to each his own, because people get ghostwriters for different reasons.
Yeah. I've actually had a couple people approach me about ghostwriting, like, for them and their books. And, like, in the very beginning, I actually thought about, like, ghostwriting for other people. But then as I thought about it more and more, I'm just like, I don't know if that's something I could support. I could say, hey, if other people want to do it and everything, I'll support you. And Steve Harvey's book was actually pretty good, even though,
both of them.
But I don't know about the whole ghostwriting aspect.
Oh, okay. Like, everybody got their own opinion, so that's good how you feel, and I'm glad you brought that to the table. Now, what do you do? You got so many. You're doing so many. We talked about the books, and you said something that you do something. You, I'm trying not to say it wrong. You do something else, event planner. How did you get into and planning events?
Okay, so many people don't know, my undergraduate degree is in health promotion and fitness. And so what health promotion and fitness is, it teaches you how to promote health programs. And so I kind of, if I use the same techniques that I learned in school about promoting health programs and switch it to promoting like book events or different events, a lot of times I get the same result. So mm-hmm. it taught me how to write sponsorship letters, how to write press releases, how to use some, like usually like in marketing, they use the four marketing P's. Mm-hmm. What is it? Product, place, promotion, and I forget the other P. So with health promotion and fitness, they teach you something called a SWOT analysis. And so it's like whenever you're planning an event, you have to think about the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and mm-hmm. threats, like of the event. And so same thing like with marketing, like when you're marketing certain things. And so I just think I do very well with event planning and knowing like what things to think about, who to reach out to. And mm-hmm. so it's just, I think ever since then, I've kind of, it's kind of flowed, and it's something I really enjoy.
Okay. So I don't want to put you on the spot. So under your hat, what's the most you enjoy? What do you love doing the most? Planning an event or writing? I'm putting
hey,
you on
why
the spot,
can't
right?
why can't I love both?
Yeah, you can love both. You know, you can love both. But I notice in people you love something more. Not putting you on the spot, but everybody, every individual loves something more than the other.
Mm-hmm.
You understand
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I do three things. I love my radio show. I love this podcast. And I love
mm-hmm.
writing books. And I love doing my event, my Women's Empowerment event. But if you ask me what do I love the most, I love doing my podcast. And second
mm-hmm.
comes to doing my own writing. Second comes to my own Women's Empowerment because I love to see people tell their stories and hear their voice
mm-hmm.
on my
mm-hmm.
platform. So
mm-hmm.
third is writing. It's still, it's all three is my favorite, but, you know, in order, I love talking on the radio. I love the radio. So,
okay.
So that's it. So what could you tell an author, it can be an author in today that wrote 20 books, it can be an author that's her first time writing a book. What could you tell her do's and her don'ts? What to do and what to not do?
That's good, just because I think going into it, like in the beginning, like when you're writing books, sometimes you think certain things in the beginning and then you're corrected in the end, like, okay, why did I think this way? So in the beginning, when I first came out with my first book, Dead Wrong, I didn't think about reviews. And, like, mm-hmm. I didn't think about needing, like, certain reviews or getting certain reviews for Dead Wrong. I heard of the word-of-mouth reviews. But then when you go back later and you try to get individuals to do reviews, it's very hard to get individuals to do reviews. So if I would have knew now what I knew then, I would have published my book on Amazon immediately instead of waiting later to do it, just because Amazon gives you that platform for
mm-hmm.
individuals to write reviews for you. And so, like, sometimes those reviews are needed just because if, like, say, for instance, you self-publish and you're looking to go to a major publishing company, those reviews help with you switching over, like, to a major review, major company. And so, like, right now, I think I have, like, maybe four or five reviews for Dead Wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I could have had so many because, like, Dead Wrong, I sold out of those books. I had like maybe 100 books published at first. I sold out of those books within 2 weeks. I received like people were saying like good things about it on Facebook, telling me to my face, and I just didn't know like I should have had this published on Amazon.
Yeah.
Another suggestion I have is, like, if you decide to go with, like, maybe a small press company, making sure, like, you read the contract. Just because I've talked with another author who they went with a small press company and they don't know, like, certain details of their contract, whether or not they could go to book festivals or what's provided. And I would say just make sure you know what's provided or what you are able to do or not able to do. Are you able to publish with another publishing company, like maybe your next book? Are you required to stay with that company for a certain amount of time? Even though they publish certain places like Amazon, Smashwords, are you able to publish in other areas? Like, what's included, like, in your publishing contract?
Yeah, that's good, because a lot of them, they be new and they be anxious to get a book deal or get their book out there. They don't read the fine print.
Yes.
They don't read the fine print. So,
The other thing I was going to say is learning what's needed in publishing a book, how long it takes.
Research.
An example I could give is if you're going to need an illustrator, an editor, if you're going to need someone to lay out the book, lay out the design, put everything together, like just knowing the ins and outs, like doing your research about how long is it going to take, how much it's going to cost, just because I think you could save yourself a lot of time and money if you kind of do the research and you know everything that's involved in the process. And you may know friends or other people that can assist you with that process. And so, like, maybe reaching out to your friends for a fee, of course. I'm just saying, like, sometimes it's okay to reach out to your friends, but, like, if they publish a book or something or they're a publisher, it's okay to pay them, like, as well for their services. Like, reaching out to them and having them assist you instead of, like, doing it on your own, because who knows, they may have mastered the ins and outs of everything that you're looking into.
Right, that is so true. Now, do you have anything else to add to the do's and don'ts?
No. What else? Do socialize with other authors. When I used to live in New Jersey, like, I met so many authors at different events, and we would tell each other about other events. Like, you're talking about an anthology, like. Some of the authors that I was friends with in New Jersey, they were big on anthologies and participating in those anthologies. Like, network with other authors, because who knows, they may know about different book festivals to attend. They may be able to provide you, like, I had never heard about Smashwords until I went to an event. And, like, one of the authors was talking about Smashwords. So I end up looking into it after that. And I'm like, hey, you know, maybe this is something I want to do, like, get into Smashwords. So networking with other individuals. Going to book festivals is a do. Just because your work isn't going to sell itself. And so a lot of times people don't know you or know who you are. And so you may have to get out of your being shy or get out of your shell and do certain things that you're not used to. But going to book festival, whether it's in New Jersey, whether it's in Pennsylvania, Florida, I went 1 year. I went to the National Black Book Festival in Texas, and I presented one of my poems just because I wanted to get the feel about the poetry, the festival, know how it is. That festival was amazing.
I think I met you before. I was kind of big. You did? You met me before?
We did. Did you have a vet at Newark Library?
Yes. Years ago.
Yeah.
So her name sounds so familiar.
Yes. So Renee, I had met Renee through a festival, and Rashonda, and Sonia.
Yes, Rashonda. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Suda. So a lot of individuals that were at your event, I end up coming to support, took pictures. I think I bought books as well.
Mhm. Oh, okay. Jersey is in the house. And that's a good thing. That's what I be wanting. Like everybody to support one another. And I'm all about supporting one another. Because I kept when you reached out to me about the about here, I was like, wait a minute, that name sounds familiar.
I'm glad you said that about supporting each other. Just because it's not about one way support. It's about two way support.
Right.
And so if somebody's supporting you, like supporting that as other person as well, supporting people by writing reviews for their books, like if you purchase their books, you know?
Right. So. Right. And support, and I was just talking to my brother about this earlier, support is not just supporting by buying a book, sending, you know, going to somebody event. Support is, it could be a word of mouth. You can post something on your Facebook that share. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's all ways that you can, different ways, because people just look at support as money and doing this and doing that. No, it's so many ways you can support a person. You know, it's
you
so
can support
many ways.
By liking something somebody's written, liking posts, attending their events. Yes, there's so many different ways you can support. Yes.
Right, mm-hmm. There's so many different ways, and that's why I was like, those who support me will get the support back. But I knew
your
name.
I know.
My name is so familiar. But yourself, you have an upcoming event coming up. Tell people how they can get involved with your upcoming event.
Yes. So I have an upcoming event. It's called Read to Lead, Write to Enlight. And so with Read to Lead, Write to Enlight, that's a whole movement. And so it's about reading to lead, writing to enlight, and supporting authors, like whether they're local or if they live out of state, regarding like the books they publish. And so my event is coming up September 17th, 2022, and it'll be held at Otterbein University. And so right now I'm still accepting authors. Like, we have different author tables. I also have spaces for sponsors, like if you want to be a sponsor of the event. I have spaces for if you want to be an author/sponsor, or if you can't attend the event and you just want to be listed on my website as a supporting author illustrator, I also have spots for that as well. I've networked different places. I've talked to the school, like the different classes, about having some of their students come out and support the event. A lot of people seem really, really positive about the event and really happy that an event like that is taking place. And so I just want everyone to come out, support, buy a book, buy two books, write reviews for these authors, show them that you care, that you support, and that we want things like this around, like other literary events or other events geared toward local authors or authors out of state or out of the country as well.
And let them know, you said the name of the place, but let them know the city and the state that it will be taking place in.
Okay. So the event, it'll be in Westerville, Ohio. Westerville, Ohio is very close to Columbus, Ohio. And so Westerville, Ohio is probably like maybe 10 or 15 minutes for Columbus. If you have any questions or if you want to participate in the event, you can go to my website. My website is Melica, M-E-L-I-C-A, Nicole, N-I-C-C-O-L-E.com. And so that'll direct you to information about the flyer, the event, the location. It'll give the address. And then also about registering for the event. You could go to the site and register for the event. also for attendees, it'll be attendance is free, and so you don't have to worry about paying. You have a chance of winning a $25 gift card, $25 in money. We also have books. We'll have books from the authors, and then also a Kindle as well. And so you don't have to pay to get placed in the prize, like potentially win the prize for those things.
Mm. Okay. That sounds nice. So, you know, because I did say I support. So, you know, if you got a flyer, you can post it on my pages. And,
okay.
And that fact, send me the flyer because I told you my niece lives in Ohio. So,
okay. I will.
Send me the flyer so I can text it to her so she can share with her friends out there.
Okay. Yes, I'll definitely do that. Thank you.
And thank you so much for being on Let's Talk To Them. We're going to talk after the show. I need to talk to you about your event. But I just want to just say thank you so much for being a part of Let's Talk To podcast.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
And hopefully you'll be back.
Yes. And, guys, I'm so sorry that I was late. I truly apologize. And there's truly no reason why I was late, but I truly apologize.
Because, look, let me tell you this. Because I was like, where's she at? Where's she at? I said to myself, I just had to play music. But, look, after I get off, you can listen to the show because I'm going to repost it. So for those who missed the show can tune in. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm going to repost it on my page, and you'll be able to, you know, take it and share it to your page or keep it in your file or whatever. But I want to thank you so much again for being. I knew you from somewhere. I want to thank you again for being on my podcast. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I see you. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. And enjoy your weekend, everybody. And come back Saturday when I have another special guest on 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you and good night.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Talk To podcast with author Sharnell Williams. Tune in next time every Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And don't forget to live, laugh, and love.